Hello, this is AJ, welcoming you to Inside the Quilting Pot. Grab a craft, have a seat, and let's get started, shall we? Today is November the 17th. This is TQP number 24, Off the Top of My Head. As the title of the episode suggests, I have no agenda for the day. I am just going to talk. The first thing I want to talk about is the Veterans Day sew-in. That was a very interesting day. I enjoyed all of the tweets. I enjoyed, after I finally got on, being on Google Hangout with Katie and Pam and a few others. Tanisha was there. JL was there. It was lots of people there that could be. As I found out later that the website or the program, or whatever you want to call it, could only hold 10 people on at one time. So you had to wait for someone to sign out before you could sign in. So that, you know, created a little bummer for some, because for me, I kept trying to sign in a couple of times, and it didn't happen. Then I get a tweet that says, I just signed out, you might be able to get in now. I did that and wasn't able to get in, and I just kept trying, and I finally got in. I tried not to stay in a long, long time because I'm quite sure others were trying to get in, but I enjoyed that. It was nice to be able to see people, see their faces, watch them sew. We were able to see what each other was sewing on. I kind of showed off my gamble a little bit in my new sewing room. Yes, my gamble did come. Yes, I am having fun with it. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Today, Bri Lynn hosted a Saturday morning sew-in, and that's been fun too. I've been in and out. Got things I had to get done today. Well, not really, but things I wanted to get done today. The boys are off at the doggy spa day right now. So I have the whole house to myself. No, Jody, stop. Jody, get that out of your mouth. Jody, stop biting Gizmo. None of that. So I got a few minutes, maybe an hour or two of quiet time. Hopefully the phone doesn't ring while I am podcasting. Oh, with that said, I may have to podcast in a couple of different shifts. So if later on in the podcast the tone or the quality changes, that will be why. I am currently working on my chevron top. It is made out of batiks that I got, and I think it came from a layer cake. I was using the half square triangle method that I saw in Missouri Star Quilt Company, and that's how I did my chevron blocks. But looking at the blocks, it could have been done maybe a little differently. I haven't quite discovered how I could do it so that the V portion of the chevron could be done in two pieces to make one block as opposed to four squares. Right now, each little V is made up of four squares. I have 1, 2, 3 rows completely sewn together but not attached. I am working on my fourth row of four blocks to sew together and then sew those blocks together to make the fourth row. Then my fifth row, I still have to trim the blocks down to the correct size before I can piece them together. Once I get those trims sewn together and that row completed, then I can start sewing my rows together. I went out today and bought some backing fabric. I live near a Hancock's fabric, not Hancock's of Paducah, but a Hancock's fabric. The fabric is a little better quality than Joann's, but it's closer to quilt shop fabric than Joann's is. And I was in Joann's last weekend, really didn't see anything that really had a good feel to it. Some of Joann's fabric is very thin. You can see that the thread count is not a lot. So I don't like the way that feels, so I don't really buy it. But when I went to Hancock's today after I dropped the boys off, I found some fabrics, their boutiques, that were 40% off. And I found a few colors that I liked. I will try to take a picture of it if I can remember and put it up on my blog. I Knit and Quilt Too. Haven't posted there for a minute either, so we'll see. I usually get my show notes bullet format out on Podbean. Sometimes I don't always make it to my blog. Just a little side note, then I'll get back to the backing. I don't know how everyone does it. They seem to put something or post to their blog every day. I don't understand how you do that and have the content that you do. I don't think I could do it. I don't really have a lot to say. I don't know. Maybe with the gamble, I'll start chatting more because it took me a long time to get this. But, I said I'd do that later. So let me get back to my backing fabric for my quilt top that I'm going to put on the gamble today. As you may or may not know, a while back I did some rail fences with a block in the center that ended up having folded in bias edges, so it looks almost like a little cathedral square in the center of a rail fence. It was from Suzanne McNeil, the 10-minute, no, is she the 10-minute block? 10 minutes a block lady from Design Originals? I think it's Suzanne McNeil. I'll have to check. If it is, I'll plug it in on my show notes on Podbean because I don't have such a great time or success of trying to fix my podcast via GarageBand. I've noticed on a couple of times that I went back to look at it, when I cut and try to put something in there, then all of my track is off. Things are out of sequence. I don't know what I'm doing. I may be cutting and moving it to somewhere else. I really don't know. I don't have a great grasp on this podcast. I do the best I can. That's all I can say. So back to Hancock's. I did buy, like I said, some batik fabric, and the feel of it is nice. Much better quality than, you know, at Joann's, but I like Joann's too, so don't get me wrong. I'm not a fabric snob. I like what I like. If it feels nice quality and good to me, whether it came from Joann's, Hancock's, or Walmart, doesn't really matter as long as the quality feels acceptable to me. So it's the batik that's going on the back of this rail fence quilt is kind of a gold with some browns and hints of greens. And like I said, I'll try to take a picture of it. If not, you'll see it when I finish the quilt top. I am going to try a new technique that I saw on Pinterest in order to do my back. It's a John Flynn technique, I do believe, in which he has a calculator that you put in the width of your fabric. And I'm not quite sure who said it, but anyway, you put in the width of your top, the length of your top, and it figures out the yardage that you need. The way the backing is done, if you don't have quite enough, what you do is you fold the backing on itself like at a right angle. Then you cut it. So it's almost like a bias fold. And then when you're making bias binding, and then you cut it, offset it so that the measurement equals your quilt top plus 3 inches on all around. And then you sew it, you cut your dog ears off, and the back should be a perfect fit for the top. I'm going to try it today. I'll let you know how that goes. So we'll see. It looks interesting, and if I do it right, it should work. The concept is nice, and I can't really tell you exactly what the name of it is, but I do know if it's a way of doing a backing when you don't quite have what you need to complete your back. So I'm going to try that and get back to you. The other thing that I'm going to talk about today is, let's see. I do have a little bit of paper here. Oh, my chevron top. I just talked about that. My gammal arrival. I have had my gammal now for about 3 weeks. It came the Tuesday before Halloween. Well, of course, I wanted to play with it on Halloween, but, you know, the kids are ringing the door every 5 seconds. The dogs are barking. The gammal is upstairs. Oops, hold on. That's the phone. As you may have guessed, that was PetSmart calling me to let me know that the boys are ready. So much for my quiet time. I'll talk to you a little later. Bye. Well, I'm back. It's been 4 days. Today is Wednesday, November the 21st. Better late than not at all. I'm not quite sure where I left off, and I didn't go back to listen. So I'm going to start off talking about the backing technique. I did go back and check on the name of it. It is called the Diagonal Backing Calculator. What it does is allows you to increase the width of your fabric. So up to 42 inches, I think you can increase your width from 42 inches to 63. It does have a limitation, though. It can only increase the width of your fabric by 150%. So if you use the calculator, it'll tell you how much yardage you get to do the length and the width of the quilt top that you're trying to do. It didn't say this, but I am thinking that if you need to do a wider back than what you have, you can multiply the number you get by two, do it in two separate pieces. Maybe that doesn't make sense. I'm not going to go there because I don't want you to buy extra fabric and then make a mistake. So strike that previous comment about my thoughts, because they're probably wrong. Moving on, I am going to now talk about Lady G. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, you know that I now own a gammal. I have a Vision 18-8 and a 12-foot table. It arrived the day before Halloween, and I think I said this previously, but just a little recap. And I am having fun with it. I have completed quilting my log cabin, wonky log cabin quilt, my pinwheel quilt that I made a while back, as well as my Exploded Stars quilt. I am practicing on my own things because, you know, I don't want to do things for others when I get to that point, and it's not at perfection or close to. So with that said, if you own a long arm, or thinking about getting one, or have a frame quilting table, pantographs. Let me just say the word, pantographs. It should be a four-letter word, but it's not. It takes quite a bit of time to get used to following a pantograph. Although I know you don't follow it exactly on the line, it's just a guide, and you try to stay as close to the guide as possible. I do well with the straighter, less curvy curves than I do with the very curved and pointed intersections. So, practicing still going on. I am overall happy with my quilting for me. It does show that I have improved from when I took my gammal lesson. I think it was October the 26th. Yeah. When I took my lesson, October 26th or the 27th, whatever that Saturday was, I have gotten much better. I am more comfortable with the machine. So I kind of know its little ins and outs. So half my battle is done. I'm comfortable. I know the touch screen. I know what I need to do. I know how to thread it. It has an automatic bobbin rewinder. Bobbin winder. So while you're quilting, if you're getting ready to set up for another quilt, you can put an empty bobbin on and another cone of thread, and it will be winding your bobbin as you're quilting your quilt. So that is a very handy thing. I don't have to have an external bobbin winder. I don't have to use the sewing machine main function to wind the bobbin because of the external bobbin. So usually if I'm going to use the same thread, I'll slap a couple of bobbins up there during the process and get them wound. So you noticed I named my gamble. Her name's Lady G. I know a lot of you are not into naming inanimate objects, but I kind of like the name. Lady G sounds kind of sophisticated. So I like that. And that's her name. So if you ever hear me talk about Lady G, you know who I am referencing. The inanimate object, my gamble. So next on my list to quilt is my rail fence. That is what I am making the backing for. Unfortunately, when I did the backing calculator, I bought the backing of what I thought would be a good length for my backing, for my quilt top, before I put my measurements in the calculator. After I put my measurements in the calculator for the width and the length of my quilt top, I needed at least another 3/4 yard in order to get an exact length and width for my backing. So, needless to say, I did the diagonal technique. If you have problems with your knees, I suggest you not try this if you got to get on the floor, because it is not a very comfortable thing. So I had a little back angst and knee angst when I finished this. But if you have a large table and you want to try this technique, or try this technique with a smaller quilt top, it would be excellent. I'll probably try it again. I'll have to finagle how I am going to fold the backing on a large backing on a narrow surface, or by a table or something. I do have a table in my garage, but I don't think it's quite long enough. But I digress. So needless to say, when I did my backing using that method, I was short in length about 15 inches. So what I did was the dog ears that I cut off from the technique, I used the straight of grain, so those two halves together, and made a center section. Then I attempted to find some petite colors that matched some of the colors of my quilt top, as well as the border of my quilt top. I had a very limited amount of fabric left, and I found that. Luckily, I put all of the pieces together, sewed them in a diagonal row, and then cut those pieces in half so that I could end up with 15 extra inches. So I divided that, didn't quite do 15. I did 7 inches, so I'll have a 7 inch, can't talk this morning. I have a 7 inch addition to the top and the bottom of my back. I'm in the process of sewing those on. So that is enough for the gamble. I am happy. Like many of you may have read or heard, this is a long time gift or wanting that I have had, and finally made that plunge and purchased. Although not the granddaddy, I'll take the baby. Let's see. Going to my chevron quilt. No, let me back up. I'm going to talk about the quilt gallery. If you don't know, the quilt gallery is sponsoring, a donation block. They're using the Wonky Log Cabin, and I think I talked about this as well. But I did signed up to do 6 blocks. I have already gotten my contact information to mail my blocks in. I will be working on those from tomorrow through the following week, because I am off the next week, the week after Thanksgiving, and I am going to be doing lots of sewing and quilting. So with that said, back on topic, back to the quilting gallery. If you have not done so, you might want to check them out. You can pledge as many blocks as you want to. You can be a block maker, a piecer, or a quilter. I chose to be a block maker, and like I said, I chose 6 blocks. So go by and check it out and join in to help if you can. Now, I'm going to move on to my chevron quilt. I was in the process of doing my chevron quilt when one of my sewing machines decided it wanted to be sick. The Bernina is sick, and I had to take her to the sewing machine hospital. I don't know what was wrong with it, but it seems like every time I would pause to readjust my fabric or to do something else, when I would go back to press on the foot pedal, the screen would go blank. The light remained on, so I knew it was getting juice, but the screen would go blank and I would have to do a reset, so to speak. So I'd have to turn it off and turn it back on. Then I'd sew down the seam a little bit, stop to readjust my fabric, press the foot pedal. The seam went blank. So after a few tries of thinking maybe it was me, I decided it was the sewing machine. It was very frustrating trying to complete this one seam so that the stitching would be consistent, because sometimes sewing machines differ a little bit. So I did get the row completed and took my Bernina out of commission and set up my designer SC, my Viking. So with that said, I am now sewing with my Viking. So at this point, I won't be doing any embroidery, which I haven't really done any in a while, but I will try to get to some while I'm off, because I won't have any interruptions in trying to squeeze things in at certain times. So I'll be playing with all of my toys during my time off. So I have right now gotten all of the rows pieced together. I have 2 rows sewn together, well, 4 rows sewn together. And the way I have done it, I've sewn 2 rows and another 2 rows, and then I have 1 row left. I'm getting ready to add that row on to the last 2 rows that I had sewn. And then I will do the top row to the remaining part of the quilt, and then the top will have been completed. Now my quandary is, do I add a border, and then an inner border and an outer border, or do I just bind it? The quilt has a lot of negative white space, and it's, if you've seen it, it's made out of different colors of batiks. If I choose to do a binding with no inner and outer borders, I'm not quite sure of what color binding would fit. Do I take a color out of the quilt, a dark color or a light color? I'm still debating on that. And I am still debating on whether I make a small black border to make the top pop, and then maybe another lighter batik for the outside. I'm not sure. Still thinking on that. I am leaning, because of my laziness, or maybe not laziness, but my desire to have something totally completed, I am leaning more to just adding binding and being done. So let me know your thoughts. I'm going to leave it hanging up for a little while I'm quilting my other quilt so I can think more on it. I hope to have a decision sometime by next week, if not this weekend, as to what I'm really going to do. Because if I'm going to do a single binding, I need to get some fabric or go through my stash, which I should have plenty, and see what would fit with that quilt. If I'm going to do an inner and outer border, I'm going to have to do some fabric shopping, which is always a good thing. So, Chevron quilt, more to come. Last thing I want to talk about is the upcoming quilt shows. I still want to go to Paducah and meet up with Sandy and Francis and Pam. However, if I haven't said so, or if I've said so in the past, forgive me. There is no reservations right now that's available of where I want to stay. I wanted to get as close as possible, but unfortunately, all of the rooms are booked that are closed. That was Jody. He sneezed or something. I'm not quite sure what he did. But anyway, so I am going to look at the beginning of the year because I think some of the hotels are opening up their registration process the first of the year for Paducah. If I can get a hotel within reasonable distance on a bus route, I don't really want to rent a car in a place I'm not sure of, but if I can get something reasonably close, then I will book the hotel and I will be at the AQS Quilt Show in Paducah, which is April 24th to 27th. It would be an early birthday present for me. So I'm hoping to be able to get something so that I can go. I've never been and I would like to go. But there's other quilt shows that are coming up that are within driving distance of me, of which I don't have to get additional bless off of a mileage pass because I can only drive without doing a mileage pass or some kind of leave format within a 250-mile radius. So there's one coming up in Gainesville, Florida. I haven't mapped it out. I do believe it will be under my 250-mile radius. However, I am not sure. I'll know once I map it out. And if it's close, I'll probably go. The other one is in Orlando, Florida, which I know is 17 miles out of my allowed mileage for travel. So I probably will get a pass for that one, a mileage pass, and then spend, you know, a night with my daughter and her family who, and of course, if you know, my daughter lives in Orlando. So Katie, if you're close, there is a quilt show coming up in Orlando, Cabin Fever Quilt Show. It's going to be February 1st through the 2nd. The Mid-Atlantic Quilt Show is also coming up in February. I am not sure if I'm going to that. It doesn't require, but I would fly if I went, and I'm not sure if I want to do that and then turn around and go to Paducah in April if I can get on board with that. So, Tanisha, I know you had mentioned something somewhere, I can't remember, about the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Show. At this point, I don't think I will be attending that, although it would be a nice thing to go see my sister. For one reason, I don't want to drive across through two states to get to Virginia. I'm more willing to drive 4 hours or less to get to a place. So anything near Atlanta or within 4 hours of where I live, I would probably frequent more than having to drive a long, long distance because I don't like driving that much. There is one other quilt show. Oh, I already talked about that. Strike that last remark. That was the one in Gainesville. So, Katie, if you're not too far from Gainesville, you might want to think about that one. And that is Tree City Quilters. Their show is going to be May 4th through the 5th, which is my birthday weekend. May 4th is my birthday, so I may, like I said, probably go to that one because it's in Gainesville, which is a little bit on the other side of Jacksonville, which I think it would make it under 4 hours for me. I'd have to check that one out, like I said previously. So, with that said, I think that's about all I have for this podcast. If you'd like to leave me a comment, you can do so at iknitandquilt2.blogspot.com. thequiltingpot.com, or over at Podbean as thequiltingpot.podbean.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Pinterest, and Ravelry. I am Knitty AJ there. Until next time, may all your seams be straight.